The year is 1877. The Dakota Territory is a grim and desolate place, but in the small town of Sweet Ravine, law and order rules. The keeper of that peace is the most feared gunslinger west of the Mississippi. Hold on to those 10-gallon hats as we present the adventures of Sheriff Rawhide Law. The tradition of the Harvest Festival goes back to time immemorial. Humans are social animals, and ingrained somewhere in our very essence is the need to gather in a community over the hard-earned fruits of the farmer's labor and celebrate the bounty of the crop. So, too, the citizens of Sweet Ravine gather together one day out of the year to revel and rejoice in each other's company when the hard work is complete.
The Pinto Bean Festival.
Tread carefully, sweetie pie.
Is that a comment on my dancing?
You dance fine, and the tops of my boots are free of your footprints. I was speaking metaphorically. Your tone suggested mild confusion and just a touch of condescension.
The Pinto Bean Festival.
Why do you keep reading that banner over the dance floor?
The words there have a strange propensity toward being novel. I know each and every one of those words and have used them a fair number of times. Yet every time I lay eyes on them all together like that, it's as though I'm seeing them for the first time. The Pinto Bean...
All right, all right. Other towns have strawberry festivals or apple festivals or even peach festivals if you happen to live where a peach tree can grow. We have exactly 6 apple trees, which make cider apples only. Strawberries grow for all of 2 days around here before the frost kills them. And as for peaches, well, there ain't no peaches to speak of. What we grow around these parts is pinto beans. They're the biggest cash crop in the area, and they keep roofs over a fair number of heads. You have something against farmers making a living?
I do not.
Then what, pray tell, is the issue with the Pinto Bean Festival?
Say those words again.
Pinto Bean Festival.
And again.
Pinto Bean Festival.
One more time, please.
Pinto Bean.
That is my one and only issue, darling. Other than my inability to get around the name, I love a good Pinto Bean Festival. I get a chance to dance with my wife, enjoy the season, and see the citizens of my adopted hometown at their happiest. And speaking of citizens, here is our most illustrious one.
Good evening, Sheriff. Mr. Law.
Mr. Mayor. Rather a late start to the evening for your family, isn't it?
I love my family dearly, but with a wife and 3 unmarried daughters getting ready for the dancing, I seriously doubt any man could have arranged it so he would arrive on time.
Papa?
Absalom, there is no reason to embarrass your daughters like that.
If they are embarrassed by the truth, they have only themselves to blame. I was ready to go nearly an hour ago.
Well, perhaps before the next Pinto Bean Festival, you can try curling your hair and putting on a corset. We'll see how quickly you manage to arrive then.
In the interest of keeping the peace, let me say that the efforts were well worth the time spent. You ladies look positively delightful.
Thank you, Sheriff. Mama, I don't see him.
Reginald is over there by the punch bowl. Now, don't be too eager, dear.
Oh, pooh. He said he would save me a dance, Mama. He wants to see me as much as I want to see him. Let's go, please.
Now she's in a hurry.
And while I hate to delay the proceedings in any way, there is that one small matter to attend to first, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry?
Your sidearm. After the hullabaloo from last year, we've decided not to allow firearms on or near the dance floor or any of the other festival locations. Law enforcement personnel are, of course, exempt from our policy.
I don't recall passing such an ordinance.
My apologies. We, in this case, indicates myself and my deputy, though, to be fair, it mostly indicates myself, as I don't particularly recall consulting Kitty on the subject. You can just lay it on the table over there, if you would be so kind.
Papa, please.
Oh, very well. Can't see having much use of this at the festival anyway.
Yet you brought it along.
Sorry?
I say that was the general idea, Mr. Mayor. Now run along and enjoy yourself before Miss Amelia pulls your arm clean out from its socket.
Pleasant evening to you both.
Now hold on, young lady. We will get there when we get there.
You were oddly quiet there.
Holding my breath from the fumes.
Are you referring to Miss Amelia's prodigious use of perfume?
I am referring to the fact that lighting a match within 50 feet of the mayor's wife would be an unwise choice.
Ah, yes. Georgina appears remarkably sober for a woman who downs half a distillery in the course of a day, does she not?
I have heard the gossip, of course.
Gossip gives the implication that the information is in some way exaggerated. She got hooked on some patent medicine a few years back, slowly graduated to hard liquor, and has not been without that pale yellow sheen ever since. It's a problem to be sure, but unless she gets too rowdy or it's a Sunday, she is not breaking any law. It is therefore not my problem to fix. Oh, here comes Kitty. Let's see if any problems do require my special attention.
Evening, sir.
All is well, Pipsqueak.
Oh, sure. I thought at first Sam and Slim might have rigged the Duncan booth, but they've been giving out cigars right and left, so it must be working fine.
Oh, it was rigged right enough. I just made a few adjustments to rig it the other way. And then I added some soap flakes to the water as an act of benevolence to the community at large.
I probably should have known. You two want to take another turn on the dance floor? I can keep an eye on the pistols and another one on any stragglers to make sure they don't have any with them.
That is kind of you, Kitty, but you are off duty for the next hour.
I am.
I suspect you'll be glad of it when you turn around to see who's on their way. And darling, you want some lemonade? I was going to go get a bit.
Please and thank you, sweetie pie.
Good evening, ladies.
Silas, I'm so glad you came.
Oh, I'll take that credit if you don't mind. I love you dearly, Silas, but I still don't believe you were going to miss out on this.
I just got the dates mixed up. I thought it was next week.
Uh-huh. I came downstairs to find him half-dressed with his nose in a copy of Voltaire, but I was not going to let him stand you up, Kitty.
Jesse, please, let's not be presumptuous. I hadn't had the honor to ask Miss Kitty to this event, and I'm sure...
I'm sure that it is not too late for you to do that asking, young Silas.
Well, I just don't want to monopolize your time, Kitty.
Silas, I don't know what monopolize means, but if it means dancing, I'd like that very much. If you would, that is.
It would be my pleasure, Kitty. Jesse, will you?
I will be fine, Silas. Go dance the monopolize polka, would you?
Thank you, Jesse. That dress looks wonderful on you.
You are welcome. Yes, it does. And now get on with you. Shoot.
I am not precisely an aficionado of high fashion, but Kitty was correct, Miss Jessie. That is a dress and a half. I'm sure the young men of Sweet Ravine are about to have their collective hearts broken.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Is this what they sell in the Philadelphia shops these days?
Not precisely this one. The fabric, yes, but the cut and design are all me.
I didn't know you were a seamstress.
To be fair, we don't talk all that much.
You're right about that, but you have been a friend to my deputy, and I want you to know I appreciate that.
I like Kitty. And besides, I'm giving it about 2 years before she marries my brother and becomes my sister.
That long?
Silas is not an impetuous young man. Now, if you'll excuse me.
One last matter, Miss Jessie. I know your brother wouldn't touch a pistol with a 10-foot pole, but you don't happen to be carrying one within the confines of some of those petticoats, do you?
What would make you ask such a question?
The fact that you broke a man's nose within a minute and a half of the first time I met you.
Fair enough. No pistols, Sheriff. But if a young lady feels that the gentleman she's dancing with is just a bit too free with his hands, surely you don't object to her giving him a gentle, reprimanding tap with her fan?
Would that fan be weighted in a manner similar to a blackjack?
It might.
Then why don't you just lay that fan down on this table? If you should come across a scoundrel whose hands are freer than you'd prefer, please bring that matter to my attention.
I certainly shall.
Miss Jody, you've been here the entire evening. Why don't you allow me to take over the pouring station and go take a turn on the dance floor?
There are a few problems with that, Mr. Riggs. For one thing, I'm no great dancer. For another, only 3 men have expressed interest in dancing with me. One of them is a married piano player who only did so at his wife's request. The other two are sopping wet fools who don't know how to run a Dunkin' booth. And last but not least, there is no way anyone will allow the town undertaker to pour drinks at the Pinto Bean Festival.
Does the expression, pick your poison, begin to ring a little too truly?
You have hit the coffin nail on the head.
Fair enough. I shall then change the nature of my request.
Hard cider, lemonade, punch, or a weak beer I would never serve in my bar.
None of the above. You see, I too am no great dancer. I should therefore like to reserve a spot on your dance card the next time you take a break. No point in either of us showing the other up.
Zebediah Riggs, are you asking me for any one single thing more than some dancing?
Perish the thought.
Then I can think of nothing I would rather do. But hold that thought for a few minutes, if you please.
Hello, Jody.
Good evening, Georgina. Here's a glass of lemonade for you.
Thank you. I was gonna have a cup of punch.
No, I promise you, you were not.
I beg your pardon. Why not?
Because if you have one more drop of alcohol, you are like to keel over dead. Since the town undertaker has just agreed to be my dance partner for the night, I would just assume that his attention not be drawn to work-related matters. Take the lemonade.
I don't have to stand here and take this.
You mean the lemonade? No, I suppose you don't need to take it. But you're not going to get anything else. As for standing here, no, you don't have to do that either. You can go sit down and listen to the band, or go dance with your husband if you can do so without falling over. If you do continue to stand here, however, please do not expect either the choice of beverages nor the topic of conversation to change dramatically. I ask again. Lemonade?
Fine.
Do you need to wait a while to be sure she does not come back while you're dancing?
Let me just get Finger's wife over here. If Georgina sees me talking to her, that should be dissuasion enough.
You take very good care of the people of this town.
And of my dance partners, Mr. Ray.
Good evening, miss.
Good evening to you, kind sir.
I don't believe we've been introduced.
I'm afraid we haven't. Is there someone who could do such a thing?
Huh?
An introduction.
Oh, well, shoot. Just about everybody knows me around here. They could introduce me to you, but...
But?
Well, since I don't happen to know you, I don't really know who does. So I don't know if anyone could introduce you to me.
An insurmountable obstacle of manners since time unrecorded. I suppose we'll have to help ourselves, then. Jesse Malone.
Hello, Miss Malone. I'm Reggie Davis. Reginald, I guess, but most everyone calls me Reggie.
It's pleasant to meet you, Reginald.
Like I say, most everyone calls me Reggie.
I'm sure they do, but I flatter myself to think I am certainly not most everybody.
I'm not sure what to say to that.
Get used to that feeling, Reginald.
Would you care to dance, Miss Malone?
I might. Would that cause any strife between you and the young lady you were dancing with a few minutes ago?
Amelia? No, she and I are just... I mean, we never, That is to say...
I'm sorry, Reginald. I should be more clear. I don't particularly care about the specifics of your relationship with that little girl, but I would hate to think you were dancing with me while you were thinking about... What was the name again?
I can't remember at this moment.
Well, I think that answers my question quite nicely, then. Shall we?
Oh, boy.
Reggie, what are you doing?
Amelia!
Looks like your memory's back.
Stay away from him!
I beg your pardon?
You heard me, tramp!
Amelia, was it? I believe that was the name he mentioned.
That's right. And you stay away from my...
Thank you. I really hate to hurt my knuckles on a complete stranger. May I have a basin with some cold water, please? Is that not a reasonable request? A basin and some cold water, please. Sheriff?
Do you know why I hesitated just there? It is, as you say, a reasonable request, and I will get you that basin and water in just a moment. But first, indulge me. Tell me if you know why I hesitated.
I couldn't imagine.
It was because in the entirety of my career as a sheriff, no one in my jail cell has asked me to bring them a basin of cold water. They've asked for a cup of cold water on occasion, but a basin is a bit new. I had to ask myself if I even had a basin.
Do you?
I do. We use it for when we have to call the doctor. You know, your brother. We use it when he has to come in and patch up some poor fool who might be bleeding. Here you are, Miss Malone. One basin with relatively cold water. Is this to help get that little spot of Amelia's blood off your fancy sleeve, or did you need to soak your knuckles after bruising them?
My hand is fine. Thank you for the basin.
You are most welcome.
Something on your mind, Sheriff Law?
Why are you in my jail cell, Jesse?
You're the one who put me here.
When a woman punches out the mayor's daughter in front of 50 witnesses, that woman will spend the night in jail. It is not my fault if you did not know this was a foregone conclusion. So, yes, I directed your carcass into my jail cell, but you, Jesse, you are the one who put you in here.
I won't have my reputation destroyed. No one has the right to call me.
I know what she called you. I've been called a lot worse. You think I haven't? You think a female gunman who hasn't worn a dress in a month of forevers hasn't been called every name in the book by just about every kind of despicable man and woman the good Lord allowed to walk this earth?
How many of those men and women did you shoot?
A decent percentage, but not for that reason. If, let's say, they called me a name and they tried to rob a bank, that's when the gunpowder made an entrance.
Fine. You deal with insults your way, I'll deal with them mine.
You call this dealing with them.
She'll never call me anything like that again.
I suspect there's more to it, for the simple reason that there usually is. Amelia's an annoying little mosquito, and her manners are atrocious, but that makes her look bad, not you. And I believe you know that. I believe you know that just because someone calls you something don't make it true. So tell me why you had to go get blood on your shirt.
I just wanted to dance.
Sorry?
I wanted to dance with Reggie, with anybody. I wanted to spin and smile and maybe flirt, if I felt like it. I wanted to be back in Philadelphia.
That's a bit of a jump there. You want to walk me through that?
If you go to a dance in Philadelphia and you make a fool of yourself, then you just go to another dance. There's always another dance where nobody knows who you are or what happened at the first dance. Here, it matters. I'm pretty sure I saw every dance partner I will ever see in Sweet Ravine tonight. You're right that just because Amelia said it doesn't make it true, but everyone here knows Amelia. And why wouldn't they believe someone they know?
Jesse, I hope it will be some comfort to you to know that I like you. I didn't up till now. But that was my misunderstanding. I thought you came to this town with a chip on your shoulder. Turns out, you didn't want to come here at all, did you?
Mama was a nurse in the war. She got sick taking care of the soldiers, and she died when I was little. Papa died about 3 years ago, and with Silas's education, he didn't have a lot to leave us. My brother's a good doctor. You know that. But nobody would hire him since he was so young. So to make ends meet, we had to come out here. I want to like your town, Miss Law. Honestly, I do. Silas is happy here, and he's trying so hard to make me happy, but I don't want him to have to keep on taking care of me. I want to stand on my own 2 feet, so he doesn't have to worry about me.
And since you don't have a whole lot more than your pride, which you can call your own, you fight like a wildcat to keep it.
I guess I do.
Wish I didn't see quite so much of myself at your age when I look at you, Jesse. You have me a bit stymied, as I'm not sure what to do about you.
What do you mean?
Well, I already deputized one pain-in-the-neck teenager. Not sure I could stand another one.
Don't think that's quite the road for me, anyway.
I don't suppose so. You know, newfound camaraderie aside, I do have to leave you in here overnight.
I know. It's all right. You should get back to the festival. Go dance with your husband. Somebody should get to dance.
I will take you up on that. If I can manage it, I'll see if I can sneak you out some lemonade before the evening's over. And, just so you know, the church hall has a dance once a month. It's partly for married couples and partly so we can keep an eye on folks your age and make sure dancing's all that's happening. You will dance again, Miss Malone. I promise you.
Thank you, Sheriff.
Oh, you can call me Alex. Just don't abuse the privilege. I'll be back in a bit.
Where is your mother?
I think you'll be all right, Miss Amelia. The ice block they're using for the lemonade was quite handy. You'll want to keep ice on that for a while to keep the swelling down.
Is my nose going to be crooked?
It's possible. I can fashion a splint to keep things straight.
That you want me to wear a splint on my nose?
Amelia, you will wear a splint on your nose. If the doctor wants to wrap your entire body in bandages and set you to bed rest for the rest of the year, that is what will happen. And you will be glad that there was a doctor here at all to help take care of you.
He's her brother.
So you should be extra grateful he's willing to treat you at all after the way you behaved.
If you
imagine that using such vulgar language is not poor behavior, you obviously have not been paying attention to what is expected of one of my daughters. Where is your mother?
Is she going to be okay, Doc?
There will be bruising, which may take some time to fade, but I don't really think there's any lasting damage. Miss Amelia, if you're up for it, there's no reason you can't go for another dance tonight.
I can't go dancing. Everyone's looking at me.
They are looking at you because they want to be sure you're all right. My suggestion, young lady, is that you go out on that dance floor. You should get as much out of this evening as possible, because this will be your last evening out for some time. And don't even think about saying something like, "But Papa," to me.
Come on, Amelia. Let's go.
Thank you for caring for my daughter after her behavior, Dr. Malone. It is a testament to your professionalism. Now, I need to go see where my wife is.
Are you all right, Silas?
Yes, of course. I'm worried about Jessie, certainly, but I know the sheriff will take care of her.
Seems to me Jessie can take care of herself. Where did she learn to punch like that?
One of my college friends, Adrian, was a boxer. After I introduced them, they started seeing each other socially. He stopped seeing her when she started winning in their practice bouts.
I see. Well, I'm sure she'll be all right. Oh, here comes Alex.
Is Jessie all right?
I would like to see about improving her situation somehow, but that will have to wait.
Please accept my apologies on her behalf for the interruption to the festivities.
I will not, Doc Silas. Jessie can make her own apologies as she needs to. The two of us have come to something of an understanding. And speaking of understanding, Pipsqueak, I understand you have only had a couple of chances out on the dance floor. I would like you to fix that, please.
Yes, sir. Come on, Silas. If you're up for it, that is.
Your sister is fine, and I have it on good authority that she would like you to go enjoy yourself since she cannot. Just one question before you two scamper off.
What's that?
Has anyone seen my husband?
Well, that doesn't look too bad. I should have asked for some soap.
I don't think it's going to matter much, tell you the truth.
Who?
Shh. Shh. If you make a lot of noise, I have to do this quick.
You're the mayor's wife, aren't you?
I'm Amelia's mother. You hurt my little baby doll.
Sheriff? Alex? Kitty, is someone there?
Nope. They're all back at the festival, and the band is playing real loud. I don't even think they'll hear this.
You don't need that gun.
I do. And you know the funny part? It's not even mine. I don't know whose it is. There are a bunch on this table, and Kitty, she was taking care of your brother. He's so upset about you being in jail, you know?
You're drunk. I can smell it on you. You're not thinking straight.
I think better when I'm drunk. I don't know why people can't understand that. When I'm not drunk, I feel sick. Now, I feel just fine. I feel fine. And you hurt my baby doll.
Please.
Don't. Just don't. If you got some prayers, just get them said. I'll shoot you. I'll go back to the party, put the gun back, and nobody will know anything until they find you tomorrow.
Don't do this.
This is what mothers are for. This way, my baby doll can get married. Reggie's a nice boy, you know. Stupid, but he's nice. Now get praying. You should always say your prayers before you go to sleep, you know.
Father, forgive them. They know not what they do.
What the?
There is a derringer pointed at the back of your head, Georgina. Except for the war, I have never taken a life, and I ask you not to make me change that fact. But don't you think for one second I won't pull this trigger.
I don't know what to do.
In a situation like this, you do what the man with the gun pointed at you wants you to do. In this case, I want you to put the pistol on the ground.
Okay.
Thank you. You all right, Miss Jessie?
I am. Thank you.
You are fortunate that I was a card sharp in another part of my life. When so much of your livelihood depends on what's being put out on a table, you learn pretty quickly to notice when something's missing. When I spotted we were short on a pistol, I took a very fast hike up here.
What happens now?
Sweet Ravine is an unconventional town, ma'am. I am trying to adopt its ways. Go sit down at that desk and start writing. I want you to write down every single thing you did since you put your hand on that pistol. You're going to write it, you're going to sign it, and then I am going to witness it.
But why?
Why? Because I'm still the man with a gun pointed at you. You don't deserve a better reason just now, so sit down and start writing.
All right, all right.
Jesse, the penalty for attempted murder is a hanging. And since you're the one who almost died, if you say so, that's exactly what we'll do. I'd like, however, to try something else. Something that doesn't end with three girls a little younger than you having no mother.
I'm listening.
When she finishes that confession, we put it in a safe place well out of her hands. Then we present her and the mayor with a list of demands. These will include things like making sure she never touches so much as a drop of liquor again, and anything else we can think of to make sure she becomes a better person. If these demands are not met, my wife will arrest her and use that signed confession to make sure she receives the penalty she was going to get anyway. Again, though, none of this happens unless you say it's all right.
I know what it's like to lose a mother, Mr. Law. I want to try it your way.
All right, then. Let me get the key and get you out of here. I'll need you to go get my wife and... hopefully the two of us can convince her to go along with this crazy scheme.
This is unbelievably generous of you, Mr. Mayor.
Your family has done more for mine than I can possibly repay, Dr. Malone. Besides, that shop has been sitting empty for well over a year. I don't know if a dress shop in Sweet Ravine can really succeed, but I think letting Miss Malone here have a crack at it rent-free for a couple of years is a good way to find out. I also have an arrangement with the stagecoach so you can take some trips into the cities to get your hands on some material. Your shop will be the envy of everyone within 100 miles. I promise you my wife and daughters, even the ones I've already married off, if I have any say, will be getting their dresses from no place else.
Thank you, Mr.
Don't you dare thank me, young lady. I still have a wife and a family. That is entirely due to your kindness.
This is all getting a little maudlin for my taste. Can I get on with my business, please?
Of course, Sheriff. What did you...
Wasn't talking to you, Mr. Mayor.
I'm sorry, Sheriff. Are you not feeling well? I can certainly...
Thank you, Doctor. I am in no need of medical aid. I have business with Jesse.
With me. What can I help you with, Alex?
Well, as I mentioned, it has been some time since I have put on a dress. I think just about the only thing that could get me to do so would be if you were to make it for me.
Gentlemen, If you will excuse us, I have to measure my first customer.
Here ends another adventure of Sheriff Rawhide Law. The town of Sweet Ravine has made one more stray into a welcome guest, and all it took was some sore knuckles, a little blood stain, a gun that never fired, and a whole lot of lace and ruffles. But in the Dakota Territory, one adventure always leads to another. What's up next on the horizon? Tune in next time and find out. You've been listening to Rawhide Law, Episode 8, produced by Seat of Our Pants Players, written and directed by Dan Wenzel. Alex was Jill Wenzel. Caleb was Dan Wenzel. Jesse was Rebecca Scheimer. The mayor was Rick Tennant. Amelia was Andy Gastengee. Reggie was Andrew Dell. Kitty was Brianna Kubi. Silas was Aaron Mankiewicz. Zebediah was Adam Gastengee. Jody was Liz Music. And Georgina was Dana Bonner Anderson. Dan's music provided by Dragon Falls and Ann Kirby. Cowboy Sting by Kevin McLeod at Incompetech.com. Licensed by Creative Commons under Attribution 3.0. Other music and sound effects provided by www.freesfx.co.uk. Thanks for listening, partners. We'll see you next time.